Blog Talk Radio.
From the gyrocopters of D.C. to the prison cells of Boston, and broadcasting from a small, improvised, refurbished, homemade, hand-wired pecan shack. Good morning, Kelly O'Connell, 6:06. It is the 16th of April, the day after tax day, although there's undoubtedly people out there that are a little behind the eight ball on that one. Well, I hope you're doing well today. It's pretty nice outside. Big news of the day is that somebody landed a gyrocopter on the White House lawn. And I'm not talking about one of those little, outside your window peeping in, little drones. We're talking something that looks like it was built by somebody. So a guy in the... A guy in the postal, so, of course, commentary is that he went postal and landed on the U.S. Capitol Hill ground. Check this out from Fox. Hold on a second here. I'm not hearing anything coming out of this. I do have a backup story here for you, though. You know, the weird thing about that story is that he works for the Postal Service. His tail fin on this gyrocopter is the U.S. Postal Service. They must be mad at him. Here's another little clip from NBC News. Or maybe not. But it was just crazy. That you would work for the Postal Service and then also you would fly your Postal Service gyrocopter up there. And it brings into question, of course, what kind of security is around the mall? What in what way would the authorities there stop a terrorist attack against the president, the White House, the Senate, the Congress, the members up there have to be a little bit nervous about this, because we have an assumption, of course, that we are, you know, living at this time when we've got all this technology, we can stop anything like this. And yet, out of the blue, we've got this gyrocopter landing. And then on another day, you've got a toddler who kind of gets under the fence and starts running towards the White House. We have people, fence jumpers, that have jumped the fence at the White House and sprinted up to there and it was actually able to get inside. Then you've got drunken fighting Secret Service people. All kinds of crazy stories. I think the head of the Secret Service, the head agent, was just replaced. Many, many strange things. And I was telling somebody else this morning is a president at some level has to be a little bit paranoid. There's a lot of people out there that don't like him. It seems, in light of that, kind of strange that the Secret Service seems so out of control. So, you know, draw your own conclusions on that, but very, very strange scenario going on. It just kind of adds to the general weird vibe that's going on up there. And all right, so for your KOBE headlines, of course, Aaron Hernandez is given a life sentence. And there's a couple of strange things that came out of this. The first was that his attorney admitted that he was at the scene of the crime, so that he had watched the murder of his future brother-in-law, but was too green. He was too naive to do anything about it. He was too shocked. That in and of itself shocked the jury, and they were talking about the fact that this gives him something on appeal. It was so outrageous because the prosecution never tied him to the crime scene, number one. Another thing that came out is Robert Kraft, the owner of the Patriots, had said in testimony that Aaron Hernandez had come up and said, when he was asked about the murder, he says, "Well, I was in this bar at that time, and nobody knew what time it was. It was like 11 o'clock or whatever." So that was damning testimony, too. It's kind of surprising that that they took that direction on the defense, but that's the nature of these type of things. You have to take risks and such. All right, it is 6:13. It's 54 degrees out there. Going to be a high of 73, a low of 45, and it's going to be cloudy today, so... And certainly we will be right back. Kelly O'Connell Show, 523-1450. You're listening to AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. And great stories right around the corner. Got some headlines for you. And we're going to talk a little bit of atheism today, too. So, and I've got a GOP call from up north. It's at 7:45. At 7:30, I think Brother Kevin's calling in. We will be right back at 7:14. It is not too bad outside. 54 degrees, high 73, low 45. Cloudy, a little bit windy. 8 miles per hour. Humidity 25%. All right, so here is this story on Aaron Hernandez. Now, Aaron Hernandez came out of Florida. He was one of the top tight ends coming out of the draft. He went to Boston, and he was made a huge impact, very athletic guy. And on the verge, he was a superstar. He had a $40 million contract, and then he was linked to a slang, and then his since he was arrested, he's been linked to several other slangs. He got involved in some gang activity, and they said everything went downhill after his father died. In his high school years, he was very distraught and then ended up getting involved with a gang. And so here's your KOBE clip of Aaron Hernandez's sentencing. And so it's incomprehensible, really, what happened to this gentleman. Yeah, except he got involved in the gang, and I think the gang life was his real, you know, his real history, his real secret. And his everything else was just something he was playing at, no pun intended. But all right, here's another strange story. Ex-NFL Darren Sharper, defensive back, who was a Pro Bowl player. He was on TV. He was convicted of 9 rapes across the United States. Now he's got to wear something very strange. And I'll just let this play for you. And this is out of left field a little bit. Anyway, I thought you might find that as bizarre as I did. What if they show him a picture of a poodle and he gets aroused? But anyway, very strange. It's, you know, the thing is, he was a handsome guy, obviously very athletic, and you know, I mean, he's on TV. He's got to be a little bit charming. So you just wonder about people like this, and 5-2-3-14-50 people that are. Like Bill Cosby or this gentleman who were obviously would be able to find any, you know, probably many women would find somebody like this attractive. Why they would want to rape? Why would they would have to rape? It's very strange. Anyway, let me get to you some headlines. We'll take a little break here first. It's 6:26, Kelly O'Connell Show. It is 54 degrees. And a high of 73, low of 45 today. It's going to be cloudy on AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE. And here's a little bit of Mark Schiff for you. It's Kelly here. It's Kelly here, and thanks for tuning in. I want to thank Rawson. Rawson's Builder Supply for sponsoring the show. And we've got at 6:32 on KOBE a few local stories of false alarm rates still remain high, according to the Sun News. And the LCPD is asking residents to be a little bit more careful of monitoring your security system. And increasing number of new homes with security systems are causing a lot more, false alarms because there's just so many more houses online out there. In January 2013, the city council adopted a security system ordinance aiming at curbing false alarms, but it wasn't implemented until December 2013. And under that ordinance, alarm owners are required to register security systems and pay an annual fee, $25 for residential alarms or $50 for commercial alarms. And once it's registered, officials track false alarms and penalize owners after the second false alarm. The fine for the third false alarm is 100 clams, $100, which is also the same fine for failing to register your security system. And fines can increase to as much as $300. To date, city officials have collected almost $40,000. But data collected by Las Cruces Police Department says that the number of burglar and fire alarm calls in MVRDA dropped by nearly 28% from 2011 and 2014. In 2011, Central Dispatch received 7,835 alarm calls. In 2014, 5,652. Well, it looks like we've brought it down quite a bit. 2,200 less. But in 2014, only 48 burglar alarm calls required further investigation. So 99% of the calls were false alarms. So, what do you think of that? And all right, so we've got a little bit more news. There is a power struggle going on between Las Cruces school system, Las Cruces Public Schools, and the Educational Secretary Hannah Scandera. And the school system was down here had put out a resolution pertaining to how teacher absences will be counted for the year's evaluation after receiving a memo from the state threatening possible takeover. What would Stan Rounds do if they took the school district over? I guess he'd play a little more golf. And the dispute is over whether the district is contractually obligated to offer teachers 10 sick days and 2 personal days annually, a benefit included in a collective bargaining. But on the other hand, without being penalized, and under the current evaluation dubbed NMTEACH, teacher attendance makes up 10% of their evaluation. That element goes under a category called multiple measures, and that's what the local district chose from a variety of available columns. And so they've been battling back and forth, and at a March 17 school board meeting, the board unanimously passed a resolution directing a superintendent, Stan Rounds, to advise the PED that absence reported for teachers shall begin after 12 days. After 12 days. So there was a very terse and probably boring battle between the two, and but they got a letter from Scandera that says, quote, "It has come to my attention that you, as the Las Cruces School Board, continue to direct Superintendent Rounds to disregard the legal commitment and obligation he has to, as the Las Cruces Public School District Superintendent. It is not within the power of a local school board to adopt any part of a teacher evaluation policy, nor does the school board have the authority to dictate policies, guidelines, and procedures for the performance evaluation process that the superintendent should adopt. And under New Mexico law, NMSA 22-2-2, Department PED shall supervise all schools and school officials coming under its jurisdiction, including taking over control and management of a public school or school district that has failed to meet requirements of law or department rules or standards, and until such time as requirements of law, standards, or rules have been met and compliance is ensured, the powers and duties of the local school board and local superintendent shall be suspended." Oh my gosh. So anyway, the state pushback in the local school district buckled like a Kmart lawn chair in the middle of a rainstorm. So, all right, and another story here. A group that backed recall New Mexicans for a Better Tomorrow raised more than $28,000 to help with the recall. And so they spent more than $54,000 on the campaign during the second reporting cycle. So that's quite a bit, huh? Even though it seems as if they have failed. But they still gave it a go. They still shook up the city council. Isn't that what we were really looking for? All right, so let me bring you here a little. We'll bring you a little bit of local weather. Kelly O'Connell, 638 KOBE, 1450 AM Las Cruces. And pretty nice outside right now, 54 degrees. We will be right back. Good morning, Kelly here. Yeah, there's a very weird story out there that I thought you guys might get a kick out of, and it has to do with Harry Reid's injury. Most people know that Harry Reid, who was formerly the head of the Senate for a number of years, had some sort of a thing happened where his exercise machine supposedly broke. And so the upshot was that he gets this damage to his face. He gets a black eye. Now he can't see out of his eye. He's had like 10 operations. And so he says this elastic band on his machine broke and hit him in the face. And, the other story out there is that this is supposedly that he was beaten by the mob. I mean, I don't really, you know, I really don't know about that, but you know, there is connection. In growing up in Vegas, Harry Reid is a very strange guy because although he claimed to be a Mormon, as far as I know, he was not a Mormon growing up. I think he had got a Mormon identification when he got older. The Mormons as a group are very powerful in Las Vegas. But he has always been kind of a strange person. But here's a little bit from Rush Limbaugh on this. All right. So anyway, there's this claim. Harry Reid is pretty upset about this, but the supposed source of the problem is that he got a beating by the mob. Now, the mob is prominent out in Las Vegas, or it used to be anyway. It used to kind of run the town. Now, there's this famous group that oversees this casinos and everything, and they've got this black book, and if you get the black book, you can never work in a casino again. As a matter of fact, you're not supposed to go into a casino, and this book is for mobsters and people like that. So anyway, it is supposedly he's made a lot of money while he's been in the Senate. Nobody can figure out how. All right, so we had, and let me get you a few of those headlines for you. Hillary invented immigrant grandparents, story developing. First person who will live to 1,000 years old is already alive, possibly. And for illegals and Obama, he's issued 500,000 Social Security numbers to illegals. What do you think about that? Netanyahu is warning of second Holocaust from Iran. Hillary campaign lowball Spanish-speaking donors, whatever that means. Relatives of bust and bombers claims that this was all fabricated by the American Special Services. The bombing, I guess. Maybe they think that their kids didn't do it. Japan now holds more treasury notes than China in America. Global prosperity bubble fears mount as prices are getting knocked around. All right, so Hillary Clinton's stops are being staged, so they're saying everything about it, Hillary Clinton, is fake. And in the meantime, Ron Paul, talking about the crisis in the financial world, says, look at the chaos out there. What do you think is going to happen? Federal judge bailout protecting government motors from liabilities, GM, in hundreds of deaths. Liable in hundreds of deaths from faulty ignition switches. So, and they say that Christian soldiers are fleeing U.S. military. And in the meanwhile, the United States is cutting nukes. And by the way, 74,000 pages in the federal tax code. Federales taking a record $1,477,901,000,000 this year. And 27%, about 28% of everybody's tax bill was spent on health care. So that's quite a bit. All right. Now, we were talking about recently atheism. And I've got a little clip here. I just wanted to bring this up. 523-1450 to call in on KOBE, AM Las Cruces. Here's Richard Dawkins. Well, actually, this is from CNN. It's called The Friendly Atheist Next Door. All right, that's one happy atheist family, I guess. I've got some statistics on atheism, and I'll come back in just a minute. But 523-1450, if you want to call in and explain your beliefs, if you're an atheist, why you don't believe in God. It is 6:50 on 1450 KOBE. I'm Kelly O'Connell. You're listening to AM Las Cruces. It is 4:16, the day after tax day, and we will be right back. 523-1450 to call in. It's Kelly here, and looking at this Pew survey, and they say that. And Pew is a research group that does stuff like this. It does religious surveys and stuff. All right, so key findings and statistics on religion in America. They surveyed 35,000 people 18 and older. More than one quarter of American adults, 28%, have left the faith in which they were raised in favor of another religion or no religion at all. And here is the number of people who claim they're unaffiliated with any particular faith is 16%. that's more than doubled in children who were raised in that category. Americans ages 18 to 29, 1 in 4, say they are not currently affiliated with any particular religion. Now, that does not mean that they're atheists. Unaffiliated is 16%. Atheists are only 1.6%, not even 2%. Agnostics, 2.4%. If you put those together, you've got about 4% of people who wouldn't necessarily believe in God. People who believe in nothing in particular, 12.1%. And the secular unaffiliated, 6.3%. A religious unaffiliated, 5.8%. So how you want to slice that up depends on you. Now, Protestantism is barely the majority any longer. It's 51% and of the population, but it's going to be a minority pretty soon. And are different denominations within that 26% evangelical Protestant churches. Mainline, it's 26% there. Mainline Protestant churches, 18%, and historically black Protestant churches, 6.9%. So, not. It looks like maybe about a quarter of the people in the country would identify as evangelical. Although if you put in the historically black churches, it might be more, maybe 30% or a little higher. Okay, so the group that's lost the most percentage is the Catholic Church. 1 in 3 Americans, 31%, were raised Catholic, but today only 1 in 4 describes themselves as Catholic. So the Catholic Church has suffered quite a bit of loss. Catholics do outnumber Protestants by nearly a 2-to-1 margin, 46% to 24% among native-born Americans. So there's all kinds of different numbers in here. But I guess the thing that I was focusing on was atheism, 5, 2, 3, 14, 50. And what is atheism? You know, one of the things, one of the comments I would have is that the way that, and we do have a phone call here, but the way that atheists describe themselves, identify with science, I find strange, to be honest, because science is not a religion. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hey, Kelly, it's Mike.
Hold on 1 second. I'll be right back. Okay. Yeah, go ahead, Mike. We got about 1 minute.
I always think of that song by Lennon, John Lennon, Imagine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and how he says that there's no religion, no countries, too.
Yeah.
Everything's like universalism, and it kind of reminds me of this New World Order thing, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the New World Order would have kind of a religious element to it, no doubt.
And then you got the media behind it, and if you contest, like, same-sex marriage, private, you know, anything that goes against their ways of thinking, you're like a throwback to the Dark Ages.
Yeah, of course.
And then there's, you know, the condemnation of Christians, anything to do with Christians. Now you're considered a right-wing extremist if you're a Tea Partier or a Christian.
All right, so your point is, as we're running out of time?
Well, I think that they defined everything is just having universal values, and that everything is one.
But what is your point?
Well, it was Lenin's dream, you know, that his dream is their dream.
All right, Mike, well, you're kind of breaking up here, and we're running out of time, but thanks for the call. Not sure what Mike's point was there, but maybe he'll call back in the next hour and kind of fill it out. But anyway... the New World Order and, I don't know, I guess maybe the New World Order kind of seems religious, but I guess it's very secular. All right. Thanks for listening to the first hour. Kelly O'Connell here and AM 1450 KOBE, AM Las Cruces. 6:59, we'll take you out with a little Billy Joel and be back after a break on the hour. Good morning. It's Kelly here. It is 7:06 on the 16th of April. And it is about 55 degrees out there. Today's high is going to be 71, low 45. Although I was reading online that it was going to be 8 miles per hour wind. I just heard that it's going to be a lot stronger than that, so we'll see. A little bit of it. We're just going to get into some atheism here, but a few more headlines for you. Fast food workers on strike, demanding more pay. Federal judge refuses to remove marijuana from most dangerous drug listed. You know, there's a strong connection. We do have a call here. Strong connection between marijuana and schizophrenia. I'm sorry I didn't see that call come on, so if you want to call back, I'll take your call. There is a very strange connection between schizophrenia and marijuana. You should bear that in mind if you are using marijuana. You might want to take a look at kind of Google that connection there. But sorry if I just missed that call, by the way. Call back. Nothing personal. Not doing any call screening here, but here is just related, you know, there's a lot of mental health issues with stuff that people are putting in their bodies and even medications meant to make them feel better. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Morning, Kelly. It's Tom.
Tom, did you?
I turned my radio down.
Yeah, turn that radio down. Was that you who just called?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I realized that you were, you know, giving some news bits there,
I didn't want
to interrupt you.
No problem.
So
Go ahead.
Yeah, about the atheism, I just want to make a brief comment on that. You know the old saying there, I know atheists in foxholes.
Yeah.
And just another comment to go along with that. You know the those Coptic Christians that were beheaded by ISIS?
Coptics are... Yeah, hold on a second. Just to let people know, Coptics are Egypt's basically Christian version of Christianity. Yeah, go ahead.
I think everybody had heard of that on the news about them being beheaded there.
Yeah.
They said also on the news just recently that they were tortured. They interviewed somebody, I don't know who it was, a journalist, interviewed the families and said they were tortured for 53 days.
Wow.
By ISIS. And you know how bad ISIS is.
Yeah.
You can imagine the torture. And they tortured them trying to renounce Jesus Christ, and they wouldn't do it. Now, how many atheists, if you torture them for 53 days, if ISIS tortured them for 53 days to denounce atheism except God, how long do you think it would take before they would do it?
Yeah, well,
you know?
I've never seen and I've never heard of an atheist being tortured, but I'm sure that's happened. I guess anybody can be broken by torture is what I hear.
Not a true Christian, no. And why is that? You know, from the beginning of the church, all the way back to Rome, they used to put them up on pillars and set them on fire.
Yeah.
They wouldn't renounce Jesus Christ.
So is that,
yeah.
Tom, is that proof to you, the fact that these Christians wouldn't renounce their faith, is that proof to you that there is something to Christianity?
Yes, definitely. All the apostles except John, who they outlawed, they put him on the island of Patmos there where he wrote the Revelations. All of them were killed for their faith. They wanted to renounce Jesus Christ. These were guys that knew him, you know, walked with him, you know.
Yeah. There is a tradition that all of the apostles died from, were killed except John. Yeah, go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, I myself as a Christian, I would hope that God would give me the grace if I ever had to undergo something like that.
Renounce
him.
Tom, well, the question is atheism. What's your opinion of atheism?
I'm like Paul. the apostle, he said, I would that all would come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. You know, I don't push my faith on anybody, but I share it with anybody that wants to know about it.
Well, what sect do you consider yourself part of?
I am just a follower of Jesus Christ. I have read the Bible. I have studied the Bible.
Hold on, because there's a lot of different people out there that claim to be followers of Jesus. So there's no particular church that you would be, you know, Catholic, Protestant, Baptist.
Okay, let me tell you, Kelly, I have worshipped at Baptist churches, I have worshipped at Catholic churches, I have worshipped at Seventh-day Adventist
churches. Have you worshipped at mosques?
You name it, I have been there.
Hold on a second there. Cool those jets. Have you worshipped at a mosque? I mean, do you consider all religions to teach the same
thing? No, because they don't accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior.
All right, so there are some evangelicals who'd probably take issue with your position.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of people do. You know, I started to tell you, I studied the Bible. I was an atheist at one time.
What converted you? Because I've got to go to break here pretty quickly. But what converted you from atheism?
Well, I kept being drawn. I can't really, you know, in a minute, you know, say what it was. But I kept being drawn, and I picked up a Bible one day. I wanted to know who this Jesus was, and I started reading it. And I prayed, God, you know, if you're there, make yourself known to me.
All right, so how did he make himself known to you?
He will.
Tom, listen to me. How did he make himself present? Because you converted, what was it that happened? Briefly.
The Holy Spirit. If you read the Bible, you pray to God, they give you understanding, give you insight into it, and he will. The whole Bible is about God's creation, about Jesus Christ from the beginning to end. I spent 10 years reading it.
Tom, listen, you do me a favor. Sit down after you get off the air and kind of collate your thoughts and put together like a kind of compacted version of how you got converted. I think people would be interested, but I appreciate the call and have a great day. I think there's a lot of people that got converted from reading the Bible, and just no doubt about it. It's a very powerful book. Talking about atheism today. Now here's Richard Dawkins on Bill Maher's show. I'm talking about our beloved president. All right, so nice people are whatever, but Obama, an atheist. Richard Dawkins, one of the world's great authorities on atheism, supposedly, and saying that basically our own dear president is an atheist. Now, Tom brought up something, these cops being beheaded, and you have to wonder why the president, if he's a Christian, doesn't do more. We've got another call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Good morning, Kelly. This is Janet.
Janet, thank you so much for calling. Hope you're having a great day. And what's on your mind?
Well, I'm listening to your program, and I think you're not getting much response on your atheism theme.
What in the heck? What about all of these patriotic atheists out there? Why aren't they calling in?
Well, I don't know. But my opinion of this is society doesn't really feel them a threat. It doesn't care much what they believe and are not interested. I will tell you what my feeling is, not intellectual knowledge, is there's no hope. It's dead. There's no light in their life and that sort of thing. That's what it feels like to me. But I don't know an atheist. So I can't judge exactly why they are the way they are.
So you're not an atheist?
Oh, definitely no.
And, okay, no. So, but you feel like that people marginalize atheists?
Yes, they have. They're not going to bother with them because they don't believe like the rest of society.
All right, and but doesn't it seem like some of the more prominent people, let's just say in Hollywood, let's say in the university system, and maybe in the government, isn't there an unusually large representation of atheists in these areas? Doesn't it seem like it?
Yes, yes, we have a lot of stuff going on in our universities that is a larger percentage than what the rest of us are doing out here.
Yeah, well, it kind of makes me wonder because, you know, I know that the average person believes in something. The universe didn't come from nothing, according to the average person. Yet it seems like at the highest levels of society within the elites, those ideas are either given lip service or they're just totally dismissed. And I just find it fascinating that the people that are calling the shots at the highest levels don't really represent the demographics of America. It wouldn't seem like it.
I agree with you.
All right.
I agree with you.
So, was it, and by the way, what is it you believe?
I knew you'd do that. I follow the Native American shamanism, a belief system, through a little bit of metaphysical philosophy in there.
And what are you calling metaphysics?
Belief in life in the universe that contacts us, being able to help people, heal people, that type of thing.
All right, so like sixth sense or telepathy, telekinesis,
yes,
whatever
yes.
you want to call it.
Clairvoyant, that sort of thing.
All right,
thing.
Okay. All right. Have you,
I mean,
Janet, have you ever had contact with the dead?
Yes.
And what kind of interaction did you have?
Them not knowing where they're supposed to go, and assisting them to the other side.
Where did you send them? Did you send them to heaven or hell?
And they always go to the light.
Oh, okay.
They always go towards the light, and there's a tunnel they go through.
All right.
I'm going to stir up a lot of controversy here, dude.
Oh, that's all right. That's all right. Now, is there a heaven and a hell, or is there just lightness and darkness, or what do you think's out there?
The light and the darkness seems to be more what I feel. I haven't found a hell, and I haven't really found true evidence of it, but you don't get by without getting punished for your actions, either here in life or afterwards. But I don't know that there's an eternal fire burning you for the rest of eternity.
Where did Adolf Hitler get sent, for example?
I'm sorry?
Adolf Hitler?
Oh, this guy was just psycho.
Well, I understand he had a little problem getting along with other people, but where did he end up after he passed on?
I've never investigated that. I've never looked into that.
Could you look into it and get back to us?
I will try. I don't normally contact them when they've gone to the other side. I assist them getting there, but I will try and see what I can generate.
I think, what's the name of the show that you put out a lifeline? You're allowed to call somebody. Maybe you can make a call to one of these famous dictators. All right, Janet, we got to take a little break here. Anything else?
No, that's it, Kelly. Thank you.
Thanks a lot for sharing. All right, folks. It is indeed kind of a mystery to many people. There's a lot of people who believe there's a life beyond life. What do atheists think? Maybe, I don't know, it's kind of sad, isn't it? Isn't there this, like, desire to keep your experiences and your consciousness going. All right, 720 AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOB. I'm Kelly O'Connell, and 523-1450 to call in. If you're an atheist, by all means, Frankie, get in here. Tell us why you're a non-believer. We'll be right back. All right, folks, Kelly here. Not a lot of atheists out there, I guess. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hey, Kelly, it's me again.
is me.
I just wanted
Mike?
To clarify one thing. I don't believe John Lennon was a true atheist. I think he was agnostic.
Uh-huh.
But what I'm saying is, you know nihilism?
Yes.
Okay. I think that is a true... I don't think anyone's a true atheist, first of all. I think they believe in something. Even if they say they're a nihilist, like they have no loyalties or no purpose other than the impulse to destroy,
yeah, okay.
Like the New World Order has to accomplish their goals.
All right, go on, please.
And they're humanists in the strictest sense, but they do believe in something, and that something is Lucifer.
All right, so if you're not a Christian...
Whether they know it or not, huh?
Hold on a second, Mike. If you are not a Christian, or is that, okay, you're saying if you're not a Christian or a Jew or a Muslim, you're an atheist, basically?
I would say agnostic is a more appropriate term because they do believe in something.
Mm-hmm.
There is no such thing as a true nihilist.
So everybody has a God, in other words.
Right.
You're either worshiping God or Satan. Okay, Mike, I was going to play a little clip here, but thanks for the call. All right, there you go. Mike says there's no atheists or agnostics out there. They're just Satan worshipers. But, you know, didn't Mike say that he follows Albert Pike, who's a Satanist, to interpret his Bible? Mike, you got some explaining to do here. All right, here's a little bit from Richard Dawkins. All right, so Richard Dawkins is complaining about the fact that what he claims to be a fact, a simple fact of nature, a just undisputable fact, Darwinism, evolution, is not being taught clearly out there. Now, Richard Dawkins is either unaware or, I would assume, totally ignores any problems in Darwinism, which experts will tell you who've studied it, there are giant holes in Darwinism that the people who believe in it and defend it say will be cured over time. Here's a little bit of Richard Dawkins discussing discrimination against atheism. Get the hankies out, folks. And picture of people beating on each other, but here's Fox News. Now, that's a long clip, so I'll cut it off there, but I just want to put this out there. The most murderous regimes in history are, without a doubt, atheistic countries. The USSR, Lenin killed, I don't know, 20 million people. Stalin killed 74 million people. Chairman Mao killed 77 million people. These were officially atheistic countries. How can Richard Dawkins say this? I'm just curious. I mean, how does he get off saying that? All right. 730-523-1450 to call in. You're listening to 1450 KOBE. I'm Kelly O'Connell on AM Las Cruces, and we're going to be right back. It is Kelly here. Good morning to you. It is about 55 degrees outside. Going to have a high of 71, low of 45. Supposed to be windy today. Different reports on that. Various reports, I don't know. But it could be supposedly getting up in the 40-mile-per-hour range. And just looking at your headlines here, with a top headline, a guy flew a helicopter down into the mall area in D.C. and got away with it. Scientists are warning the world must prepare for a global catastrophe. A Statue of Liberty-sized asteroid on collision course with Earth, possibly. Mexican town offering tourists experience of simulated border crossing. Why do you have to do that when you can actually go down across the border and nobody will stop you? Wow, some of these stories. Cops, mother of five hosted teen sex party, naked twister. This is crazy. Rockies are expecting up to 5 feet of snow coming up here. And, all right, so we were talking about atheism. I got another clip here for you. 523-1450 if you have an atheist experience you want to share. This is a group getting together. This is from telegraph.com. Is America losing faith? Atheism is on the rise, but still in the shadows. And one caller called in and said there is no atheism. They're all devil worshipers. Somebody else called in and said nobody even pays attention. And yet, at the highest levels, you've got a lot of atheists, don't you? Check this out. Atheism, are atheists being discriminated against? Should they be discriminated against? Can you trust an atheist? 523-1450. And so one of the things that I find interesting is that a lot of, you know, atheism is technically just a belief that there is no God. It seems extraordinary to me, the virtually all the atheists that I've met or know have this kind of very emotional attachment to science. And because of that, it makes science seem like their religion, which may or may not be accurate, but it's just kind of an odd thing that they would have that connection. But when you see the presentation of the ideas, it is essentially, we are atheists and we believe in science instead, because, you know, religion is about myth and it's about superstition. It's about stuff that people believed thousands of years ago. How could you believe this ancient book? We believe in the present. We believe in the future. It's easy to see how it could get intoxicating. This is Kelly. I've got another call. Hold on. This is Kelly. Who's this?
It's Tom again.
Tom, briefly, I got another caller, just briefly.
Yeah. Okay, that little clip you played there. You know Albert Einstein?
Yeah.
You know what a genius he was, right?
That's what they
say. He believed that there was a creator.
Okay.
I myself have a 145 IQ. I was tested at MIT. I have perfect reading comprehension to go out with my faith.
Congratulations.
Now, I'm not bragging on it. You know, it's just a gift from God. But, you know, science, you know, so-called, keep catching up with the Bible.
All right. Okay, Tom. Well, listen, call in tomorrow. I'm going to have a guy on tomorrow, and he's going to have a lot of interesting stuff. Call back in and add a little more.
One thing I want to say about the atheists and that, thou doth protest too much. Why are they attacking Christians?
Yeah,
Christians that are attacked.
Yeah, if there is no God, why bother? Thanks a lot. This is Kelly. Who's this?
Kelly, briefly, I just wanted to say one more thing. Sorry about that. If you take the Church of Satan and their belief system, which I've studied, they say there's no Satan.
All right. But Mike, hold on a second. You previously mentioned that you were very influenced by Albert Pike his Bible interpretations, even though he was a follower of Lucifer. How do you square that?
Lucifer is an angel of light, and he can disguise himself in many ways. And he can also deceive people in many ways.
But yeah, but that doesn't explain why you're following a Luciferian.
I'm not following anyone.
You said that Albert Pike, this famous Freemason, had made many. You mentioned Albert Pike all the time, all of his prophecies, all of his predictions. You talk about him and his biblical predictions, and then you admit that he's a Satan worshiper. It makes people think that maybe you're a little bit soft in the shoes for Satan.
What? Light in the loafers?
Yeah.
No, I'm not a Satanist, and I believe in Christ.
Mike, you have already admitted you're following a Satanist interpretation of the Bible.
Kelly.
Albert
Kelly,
Pike.
I follow, the only one I follow is Christ.
What about Albert Pike? You admitted he was a Luciferian. You said that you followed his interpretation of the Bible. People were shocked when they heard that. Dentures fell all across the Sea of Valley.
Kelly, you know philosophy. Didn't Aristotle say you can entertain two thoughts at the same time? It doesn't mean you have to agree with either one.
Mike, I think you're trapped between heaven and hell. You need to make a phone call.
William Blake,
yeah, what about him?
Heaven and hell. No, Kelly, what I was going to say is Albert Pike, a lot of these people that claim to be atheists are agnostics. Nihilism, I don't believe in it. There's any true atheist.
Mike, you are confused. You're following Satanistic interpretations of the Bible. You need to call in. Well, you need to go down and make an appointment with a Protestant minister immediately.
Protestant? The Presbyterians? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, no, of course not.
They're universalists, just like the Catholics.
No, you're talking old-line Presbyterian versus Reformed Presbyterian, two radically different movements.
I don't believe in I don't believe in any denomination.
Let's compromise on Baptist. You need an intervention here. I'm worried about you.
Kelly, what I'm trying to say, and let me just say this, okay, that these people like Albert Pike, they're not wrong on everything. They have good ideas. They're very intellectual type people.
Mike, why are you following an admitted Satanist on his interpretation of the Bible? That's crazy.
I'm not following him.
You said already that in a previous day that you did follow his interpretation of the Bible.
Well, I must have been on drugs or something.
You need an intervention, my friend. Listen, I got to go because I've got a call from the GOP. Thanks a lot. All right, we'll get more Mike in just a minute. I got the GOP calling in, though, so we'll be right back.
I only tell the song, and so it goes.
Here's your Las Cruces and Southern New Mexico forecast on AM 1450 KOVE.
In today's weather.
It's Kelly.
Hey, Kelly. It's Pat. How are you?
What's up, buddy?
Not much. Just getting ready to patch in Debbie.
All right. I'm burning off my ads, and so I've got probably 2 minutes of ads left.
Gotcha. And then so I'll just patch her in now while the ads are still going on, and then I'll let her know
what's
happening.
What was her first name?
It's Debbie. Debbie Maestas.
Debbie Maestas, and she's the head of the GOP.
It's state chair for the New Mexico Republican Party,
right,
yes.
Perfect.
Excellent.
Thank you. Hello?
All right, merging you now.
All right. Hello?
Hello?
Hi, is this Debbie?
Oh, hi. Yes, this is Debbie. How are you?
Kelly O'Connell, what a pleasure. How you doing?
I'm doing fine this morning. How are you doing?
Not too bad. Not too bad. What are we going to talk about?
I think we're going to talk about Hillary.
Okay. All right. Now, you know, people are a little bit frustrated with the national GOP on they don't think that they're getting they're standing up enough to Obamacare and stuff like that. Do you have any comments on that?
I do. I have, you know, like anything, things take time. The national party, they're actually doing a lot.
Okay,
they are making ground.
Just
so,
to let you know, I'm going to throw that at you because I think it's on the minds of a lot of people, but we're coming in off the break right now.
Okay.
Kelly here, and we have the pleasure of having a guest on, Debbie Maestas, who's the chair of the GOP party. And Debbie, welcome to AM Las Cruces, Kelly O'Connell Show. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
And how
thank
are
you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. And where are you calling from?
I'm in Albuquerque.
Okay, and I hope the weather's good up there. GOP, New Mexico, how are things going in the state?
Things are going great. We've really been actively working grassroots efforts already, increasing our communications. We have a big event on May 30th where Carly Fiorina is going to be our keynote speaker. And we've revamped our website. We've been doing a lot of things.
All right. And people are impressed by Carly Fiorina. Seems like she's taking on some big issues like this tendency for the left to talk down to people on the right, that type of thing. To me, I've barely heard anybody ever mention that from the right.
I know. I think she has some really new and fresh ideas, and I hear she's a great speaker, so we'll look forward to having her here in New Mexico.
Yeah, and she's a very successful business leader. Okay, and Debbie, we're going to get into a little bit of Hillary, but what do we have to look forward to from the GOP's perspective in New Mexico? And is the GOP going to try to the Senate next?
Those are good questions. And yes, you're going to see a lot from the GOP here in New Mexico. You know, as I earlier mentioned, we're engaged, we're active, we're really looking forward to 2016. And yes, keeping our state house and also taking over the state Senate and turning New Mexico red are going to be priorities for us in 2016.
Okay. And is there do you think there's a legitimate shot inside baseball? Is the talk out there that we got a legitimate shot at the Senate?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, Michael Sanchez didn't do anything this last round. And, you know, people are just fed up. New Mexico, they just deserve better. They deserve more. And that's going to start with our Senate.
All right. So, and things have changed a lot with the House. You know, it seems like you've got this, now you've got this kind of fight between the two sides of Congress, and it's kind of made it a little more exciting.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, Republicans, they hit the ground running with a positive agenda. But again, as Democrats, they chose to go backwards. It was just gridlock and dysfunction. And we want more than that.
Okay. Now, well, what's the view on, is there anything in particular that the GOP is working on right now that you want people to be aware of?
Again, as I mentioned, we have our big event that's going to be, you know, really important for us, and we're really again excited to have Carly Fiorina and just really getting out there. You're going to see us a lot more and see us just out in the community. So those are really the main things we're focusing on right now in preparation for 2016.
And when is Carly Fiorina speaking?
May 30th here in Albuquerque, actually out at the Hyatt Tamayo.
And how would people get tickets to that, or is there going to be enough so people could just drive up and show up? Or
no, I would encourage people to go to our website, www.gopnm.org, and you can find information there. Call our office for tickets. There's a place to email for tickets, so on and so forth.
Okay. Now then, I've got a couple of questions to you. The first is about Hillary, and the second one is the people who are on the right want to see some stand up to Obamacare and immigration and stuff like that, and they don't feel at the national level, and I know you don't control that, at the national level that there's not a lot of movement in that area. But what is your take on Hillary?
Well, our voters need to know about Hillary and that Hillary is surrounded by scandal. She cannot be trusted. She's not truthful with the American people. She certainly isn't the person to move America forward and restore leadership in this country. She's just years and years of scandalous politics.
Well, I mean, maybe that means she can handle a crisis.
I would tend to disagree. I mean, Hillary shows no passion. This is just another attempt to hit another reset button on her lackluster record.
Debbie, you think it's a bucket list that she wants to check off being president before she finishes?
No question. I mean, no question. Her lack of significant accomplishments and her life of scandal, this is what the voters need to know, because we need a better president than Hillary Clinton.
Some people out there will say they didn't like Obama, and Hillary is a more predictable Democrat and is not as far to the left. Maybe she's a good option. What would you say to those people?
I would disagree. With an economy struggling to recover and a collapsing U.S. reputation on the national stage, I mean, Hillary is just four more years of a Obama failed agenda.
Ooh, that sounds nasty. Now, let me ask you this. If somebody came up to you and said, I've been a Democrat my whole life, but I'm a little bit disillusioned, you know, the country hasn't grown economically. We seem to be having more and more crises overseas. Our people that used to be our friends are now our enemies, and we're cozying up to Cuba and Iran. What is the best argument, in your opinion, to switch sides and support the GOP?
Well, I would contribute that to, you know, what have we had for the last 8 years? We've had Obama. So, again, I'm going to circle back to Hillary Clinton isn't our answer. We need a Republican in office. Any Republican running provides a stark contrast to Hillary, would make waves in any of those areas, and would be a far better alternative than Hillary Clinton.
Okay. Now, how about the claim that the GOP faithful on the ground are looking in Washington, D.C., and they think that John Boehner and McConnell are compromising? They don't see the fight that they were promised during these elections, the fight against Obamacare and immigration. What would you tell those people?
I would tell them that, I mean, some of those elections were in November of 2014. We're in April of 2015. These things take time. I believe those people are fine people. I believe once they get in there and things can get going, they will make a difference. But it takes time. I mean, Obama has had 8 years and hasn't done anything. I mean, at least give these folks 6 months.
Give them a little bit of a shot. Now, how would you describe, from your perspective, the Obama presidency up to this point?
I would describe it as a train wreck.
And what in particular bothers you?
Me personally, it's failed agenda. I look at our economy, our U.S. reputation on a national stage. I mean, those are just two examples, but they're important examples. So, I mean, Obama has failed in every aspect. And Hillary would be no different.
Why do you think that Obama's, if he's been a failure, why do you think he's gotten somewhat of a pass from, you know, it seems like his numbers are 47%. I just saw that. Why do you think his numbers are so high if he's been a failure?
Because I think he could fool the American. He knows how to fool the American people, and he knows how to market himself well.
All right. And okay, so is there any – people have asked me this a few times. Do you see Susana Martinez moving national, going to D.C., what have you?
I think Susana Martinez has wonderful opportunities in front of her. What comes about in her future, that remains to be seen.
So the door is open, possibly, if there was a vice presidency or maybe a member of the cabinet?
You know, I can't speak for Susana's administration and what her plans and intentions are, but, you know, she's been a great governor, and I think she'll have a wealth of opportunity ahead of her.
Okay. All right. So we got a few minutes left. Is there anything else that you'd like the people to know about the GOP?
You know, I would just say really two quick things is, again, you know, our voters really need to understand who Hillary is. She's not truthful. They need to, you know, watch her as her campaign unfolds because, again, you know, we deserve answers. And right now she is surrounded by scandal. The second thing I would just, again, remind voters and really New Mexicans to visit our website, www.gopnm.org. And, you know, it has lots of information on our events, things to come, how we're getting out in the community, and just how we're excited about 2016.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you, Ms. Maestas, for the call, and I hope you have a great day. Appreciate that. Will you call back and give us an update?
Absolutely. And thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it. You have a good weekend.
You too, Ms. Maestas. Take care. Okay, folks, we do have another call. Thanks for the call. The Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this? Okay, somebody's been calling in the entire time of the interview. All right, so a few minutes left here, a few more headlines for you. Man high on flaca said he was God, and he actually made out with a tree. Not sure if they're engaged yet. Now, they say that neotropic... Okay, here we go. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
This is the King.
You missed your call on the stage, Mr. King, by about 15 minutes. We've been interviewing the GOP head, but we got about 2 minutes left. What's going on?
Oh, just calling to see how things are going down there and to go over some funny news of the day.
Well, is there any chance, because I know you probably got a little material there, any chance we could do this tomorrow? A little bit earlier?
Tomorrow earlier. Well, I had been trying to call in here for a while. That's,
I understand.
I don't know why.
You were supposed to call at 7:30, though. So.
I'm saying I've been trying to dial in. And
I've been doing a GOP interview for the last 15 minutes while you're calling. Anyway, Kevin, how's the weather in Alaska?
It is kind of chilly today, 22 degrees, and, you know, just not a real warm day out there.
Well, that's, I guess, to be expected. Anyway, thanks a lot, and we'll get you back soon, okay?
All right.
Have a good day. All right, folks, Brother Kev there was supposed to call at 7:30. Anyway, it's live radio. What do you expect? All right, here is an interesting story. New tropic drug, brain drugs, rise in popularity for today's cutthroat corporate climbers. And so what is new tropic? I'm trying to find out for you. It's a drug that creates wakefulness. It's a wakefulness agent called modafinil, sometimes known as Provigil. And having taken it, and apparently there's a lot of these upper echelon people. Here's something that's out there. There are drugs, and there's even an attempt to bring in mechanical stuff, technology into the body to make people have better memories, to make them smarter, think faster. And these drugs and, you know, microchips, stuff like that. It's a very strange time to be alive. Anyway, Kelly O'Connell, thanks for tuning in. 7:59, Kelly O'Connell Show, 1450 KOBE on AM Las Cruces. We'll take you out. Have a great day. See you back in 22 hours. Ciao.